You're listening to FCUM Radio, radio for FC United of Manchester. And now, this club is my club.
FCUM Radio. FC and Music United.
I think it was Scott Fitzgerald who said, American lives don't have second acts. Well, this is Manchester. We do things differently here.
It's the United, Paul Armstrong.
First time shot comes in.
Jay Cottrell with a screamer.
I don't believe it.
An absolute rocket from Cottrell.
In this Quiz My Club this week, we have all the reaction and interviews from FC United's weekend league match with Tamworth.
Hi there, Billy McCartney, a former player and always listen to FC Radio.
Hello, I'm your host Cockers and welcome to This Club Is My Club, right here on your very own FCUM Radio. Very shortly we'll be heading to Broadhurst Park to hear all about FC United's league match with Tamworth from Sunday afternoon, but before that it's now time for this week's club news. And we start with FA Cup news as FC United safely navigated their second qualifying round replay tie with Handsworth Paramore by dispatching them by 6-2 on Tuesday night. Next up for the Reds is a third qualifying round encounter at Stockport County this coming Saturday. And staying with the Cup, a big congratulations to the FC youth team who defeated Burscough in the week by 6-0 in the first qualifying round of the FA Youth Cup. While it was also good news too for the women's team this week as FC United began their defence of the Manchester FA Women's County Cup by defeating Didsbury by 3-1. After that win, Neil Boothman caught up with women's team manager Luke Podmore.
Okay, I'm here with head coach Luke Podmore of the women's football team. So we won 3-0, but not without incident.
It was a bit of a long afternoon, really. Obviously, I made 6 changes to the starting lineup from the Wigan game. It's a chance for everyone to get some minutes under their belt. First half, we started really slow. Obviously, a bit of a different venue for us, so maybe that played into it a little bit. But in the end, obviously, it was a really one-sided game. If it wasn't for their keeper, it could be a double figures, but she did really well, to be fair to her.
Yeah, it certainly was probably between her and their number three for their best players. But so 0-0 at half time, and although we'd had a few chances, there wasn't many on target, but we put that right in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, 1:45 into the second half we scored our first goal without them even touching the ball from kickoff. So obviously made 4 changes at half time and we picked it up a little bit. We knew what we needed to do. We just was a little bit sluggish today, but it was just unfortunately we've got away with it, because obviously it was all due respect to Disney, but they're a level below, and we last year they beat them 11-0, so we had enough to win the game, but we just needed to, it took us a bit of a while to get into our stride.
Yeah, they looked, like you say, a bit sluggish in the first half, but the passing and move got certainly a lot more slick in the second half. I don't know if it was just a case of them getting a bit more tired or whether our change of personnel just fit in better. But like you say, we got one quite early on, and then Kirsty got a couple.
Yeah, it was good then to sort of, the first goal was massive in any game, and obviously once we got that goal, it sort of settled us down a little bit, and I think the change in personnel did speed things up a little bit, because they'd probably watched the first half from the side, so they could see a little, obviously, what was going on, and obviously implement a bit more of a game plan. But yeah, no, I was really pleased with the way that we responded, and we managed to get, like I say, 3 goals, and unfortunately we scored an own goal at the end there, which was, obviously due to, I think, maybe a bit of lack of communication between the two people, but yeah, it is what it is, and we move on to the next round.
Yeah, it's still a win, but you never like having to have to replace the goalkeeper, and, and she certainly got a badly iced up handy, yeah. if not possibly broken. Better that went in net. I don't think there's a lot she could have done really about that deflection from Kirsty off the free kick. But she held the ball and did quite well in all the other situations.
Yeah, I'm really happy. Beth was really, really great attitude. She said, I'll put her hand up and said, I'll go in. I think Kirsty probably could have done a little bit better in terms of, the attempt to clear the ball was a little bit half-hearted. But at the end of the day, Beth's done really well. And, we've managed to keep some other quite tricky, balls coming towards her. She's managed to keep quite a lot of them out, so well done to her.
Yeah, I suppose that was with only about 5 minutes to go or something like that, and you're 3-0 up in the cup match, so you obviously maybe things start to relax a little bit. But it's a win, so we've defended our cup in the first instance so far, and we've got to might be a second round, or is it quarter finals next time round?
Yeah, I think there's 8 fixtures being played today, so I think it might be, but there's another team in it, so it might be another round first, and then might be the quarters after that, I think. So we'll just wait to hear from the FA and see what happens. But, you know, job done at the end of the day. We're into the next round, and we'll see who we get next.
Yeah, that's all we could have hoped for. Thanks very much.
Cheers, Neil. Thank you.
Hello, this is John Champion. You're listening to FC United Radio.
To the men's team now, and second bottom FC United hosted sixth place Tamworth at Broadhurst Park. To find out if FC United could get a vital win in this one, it's now time to hand over to FC Live from Sunday afternoon.
So, welcome everyone to Broadhurst Park team news this afternoon. And, the new signing we've got on loan from Oldham, he's not even on the bench, is he? But Callum Mantak has signed on a one-month loan deal. The team is slightly different to the one that played on Tuesday night. Danny Wisdom is back in. That's because, Hughes is suspended. But a bit disappointed that Corbett's not gone left-back, because I thought he did a decent job there midweek. And I'd like to see, we've said it before, Sam Birdie's on the substitutes bench. Callum Nicholas is also on the substitutes bench. He's been on trial at Cardiff. That's the football club, not the Crown Court. And he's back with us now.
Who?
Callum Nicholas.
Oh, right, OK.
Yes. He's on the substitutes bench. I'm just saying.
Yeah, OK. You confused me then.
Also on the substitutes bench, Tim Kinsella is on the substitutes bench, having been cup-tied for the last couple of weeks. Craig Linfield's also on the bench. He did pull... he had a bit of tightening up on his leg, so I think that's probably a precaution.
He has to stop wearing tights, won't he? That's the problem.
And Tom Greaves again on the substitutes bench. What do you reckon to that team? That's starting.
I'll tell you in 90 minutes. In fairness, it's what I expect. They've not really changed everything. And the one thing I do find quite interesting is that a team that have struggled and lost the last four on the bounce, with the exclusion of the FA Cup game, is that you're stuck with the same team. There's no real variety or change in that team. It's interesting to know that Joel Senior is wearing the number 7 shirt, so... whether he's going to be playing a more forward midfield role this afternoon, or he's just wearing the number because someone else prefers another number, I'm not quite sure. Danny Wisdom back in the team. He's got a big point to prove to me today, and I think to other supporters, because attacking prowess, fine, no problem at all, but FC United seem to forget quite regularly, Emily, about their defensive duties, and the amount of goals we conceded don't disprove that fact.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's one of those things where if you know that your attackers are going forward with pace and the purpose, and we're always going to score one more than the opposition, then you don't worry about it quite so much. But the results have shown that we can be open at the back, and it's important that we defend as a unit, and that's right from the front man all the way through the team.
Jones wins the header, and FC United put the pressure on. Second ball needs to be won by Logan, but it's... well, initially a lovely little bit of play by the number 8 for the visitors, but so they're giving it away now. The tenacious number 10 of FC United of Manchester, McCarthy, plays it out right-hand side. Ball into the penalty area. Opportunity. Great header. Great goal from McCarthy. The ball was whipped in brilliantly. Gilchrist near post, just buried it. Great header. Great goal.
It was fantastic. It was a ball into him in the first place. Senior sending the ball from that right-hand side, and it was just hit with...
The perfect pace.
Glancing header. He was unmarked in there, Gilchrist. He didn't have much competition. I think Tamworth would be disappointed in that, the defenders looking at each other. But there was a goal coming from either side. There's been opportunities in it, and it was opening up for something. And, you know, fortunately, it's for FC United, but a great bit of play. Really, really well worked.
This is FCUM Radio. Officially the most popular FC United radio station in the world.
Half time here, and it's FC United of Manchester currently 1-0 up against Tamworth, and we're now joined by Stato Paul and Stephen. Wait, you're not Woodzo, who are you?
Insert name here.
It's Roy Sewell. Hello Roy. Hi Roy, how are you?
I'm fine, yeah.
What's your feelings on the start of that game there?
I think it's quite even, Stephen, to be honest. The first, say, 10 minutes or so, you know, FC had the momentum and what have you, and caused them a few problems, and then both teams sort of slotted into gear, and if it was to say, you know, it's only the goal really that separates them, you know.
I mean, are you not a bit underwhelmed by Tamworth, to be honest? I've not, they've I mean, we spoke about the Stafford Rangers result last week in the FA Cup to say that Tamworth are beatable because they have started the season very, very well. But at the minute, FC United, I mean, they're worth the lead.
My feelings are is that Tamworth have done a lot of aimless passing that didn't really go anywhere. And they've fallen into the trap that we fall into, where the possession stats are really good, but they don't really create a lot.
My feelings are, to be honest, I'm looking at them, there's no real momentum to the game. I look at how they're passing the ball, you know, it's slow, it's studious, like, you know, and players are dwelling on the ball. I think if I was their manager, being there is now, like anything, you know, trying to get some urgency and commitment off the lads and start playing, you know.
I mean, to me, what Tamworth have shown is their struggle to get results away from home, even early this season. The only place they've won is Leamington.
What's the stat then for the
one winning five? Two draws, two defeats.
Because they were out on the pitch at about half one warming up. I mean, Swampy was saying it must be business. But
I mean, you look at their position is sixth in the table.
Yeah.
And that's based on a lot of good home form. But they don't seem to travel very well.
The thing is, though, that they're not playing football that equals a sixth place in this division.
I don't think the manager would be pleased at half time now.
No, he isn't going to do it. And if he can't instill a little bit of urgency in the style of play. And the biggest thing, this is the biggest thing, I'm looking at him pass the ball and it's like, pass, pass, pass. Instead of pass, 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 support. You know, all the time. There's no real urgency in the style of play.
From an FC perspective, moving away from Tamworth, and senior's been moved up slightly up the pitch to right wing, and it's,
I think senior's been a good outlet on the right hand side.
He has,
he's put some good crosses in, including for the goal.
And he's doubled up. He's been able to link up with the likes of Gilchrist, to be honest, like, you know, in open play as well.
He doesn't get exposed like he does at right back, which is probably a good thing.
We've been talking about this all season, Roy, about the fact that wisdom as well. Both fullbacks do tend to be slightly isolated and exposed on a lot of occasions. To have you've been part of the management team here when we've had the likes of Matty Taylor and Mortimer who like to motor on down the wing, but it is important to offer that cover there, isn't it?
Of course it is. Yeah, I mean there's units within the team, and I think I spoke about this, you know, previously. The units are your right fullback, your right midfield. If your right fullback overlaps and goes, your right midfield just slots in for him, gives him that little bit of chance to have a rest as well, you know, on his way back. Centre and midfield, you have the hitter, you have the coverer. Two centre backs, you have the man who goes to meet the ball, you have the other one who drops off. There's little units all over the field, and what you put these units together and then link them all up. It's like a chain, you know, where basically you never found out wanting and you've all got cover. But you need to understand that, and you need to be, it needs to be coached into you as an instinct rather than a tactic.
But one of the things that Tamworth's brought to this game so far is pretty much straight through the middle, isn't it? They're not really going for the flanks.
It's not difficult to read where the through ball's coming from, to be honest. And I think our two men at the back, the two centre backs, have not been stretched too much, whereas normally they're pulled all around the place.
There was
they're marking one man, aren't they? They're marking Reid, you know, it's 2-on-1. I think Curlier here on the right-hand side of midfield, he's tucking in a little bit too much. He needs to get a little bit of the white chalk on his boots. And the kid on the other side, the number 10, who has been going out there at nights, he needs to decide whether or not he's going to link up with the centre-forward, Reid, or allow the left full-back, Morley, a little bit of a space and a channel to work down on that left-hand side.
One thing, you talk about them having one up front. We're playing two up front essentially this afternoon.
I think McCarthy's showed some good hold up play. The ball does stick with him when you give it to him, which is a good sign. And I thought Gilchrist's goal was very much a centre forward's goal.
It's one of them things, though. It's a lovely goal, the ball, isn't it?
Absolute superb finish off the kid. You know, the ball got delivered in. He just rose. He didn't even have to raise his head a lot. He just sort of ran into it, got himself off the floor, and just directed it. It was a lovely finish. You know, all credit to the lad.
So coming up in the second half, there's this thing in there. I mean, Swampy was saying off mic, their manager's going to give them a right rollicking at half time.
Well,
but so far so good for FC. 1-0 the score at half time. Just to add, Roy, I've got a couple of questions I need to ask you, mate.
Yes.
Now you obviously are here in a scouting capacity for your big time job, and it is a really big job at Crew Alex.
It is, yeah.
Scouting. Are you able to scout and commentate at the same time?
Yeah.
Or do you still rely on myself and Swampy passing you the notes?
No. You don't scout in Braille, do you? You know what I mean? your eyes tell you the story.
I think when you leave the match, you know what you've seen.
Exactly.
You don't need a note.
No, do we? No. My eyes are here. You know, my eyes don't tell me lies. I can spot talent. And to be honest, in one of the games that I've actually commentated on, I did pick up on the lad, which we're chasing up on. So
an interesting thing, though, is that clubs like Crewe Alex are putting a scout at this level of the game, putting yourself out there, respected coach and manager and scout in non-league football.
Yeah.
Because there are gems at this level of the game and below.
Listen, I talked to the lads, back at Crewe, and they're aware of when I come on the radio because I tell them, basically. And and what they do is they absolutely...
Scouting for radio commentators, or are they not that bothered?
No, they rubber stamp it because, Crewe's all about linking up with the lower levels of football, because that's where we've got a lot of players from as well, as well as producing them. We've brought the likes of Lee Unsworth, Colin Little... we had a couple of games here for us, for FC. I should be impartial, shouldn't I? But, they encourage it. Why not? Why try and act like a big-time Charlie when you're trying to, bring these lower league clubs into the fold, and they're up for that right away down the line.
And every now and again you find a Jamie Vardy that hits the jackpot.
Of course you do, yeah, of course you do. I found Jamie Vardy when he was at Stocksbridge Steel when he played against us, and I wanted to go for him there, but that's another story.
He ran the ball 40 yards at Gig Lane and scored.
Yeah, and he always played on the left hand side and came in on his right, and it's funny, I told Crewe about him, and we made efforts to try and get him in, but no, it wasn't to be, but all credit to him. He's worked his socks off.
He plays to his strengths, doesn't he?
He is what he is. He's a speed merchant. He works hard. He's got an eye for goal. He doesn't waste time. He pulls the trigger.
Predictable penalties, though.
And, well, of late, yeah. Of late, yeah.
Needs a bit of variety there.
Definitely, yeah. But, he's definitely got the power. He needs a little bit more accuracy, doesn't he? There's not many of us could do that, though,
Well, Ryan, thank you for joining us. You keep up the good work.
See you later, boys.
See you soon. Take care.
All right. Cheers, Ryan.
We've got you on, Paul, just a quick mention for the women's team, because the women's team have been playing this afternoon, 2 o'clock kickoff. Their first match defending the County Cup against Didsborough. Was there hummus all over the floor at the end of the game?
That result was 3-1, apparently. We lost Gemma Jackson, the goalkeeper, to an injury, so Beth Tatt had to go into goal. First goal was Nicola Hatcliffe in the 48th minute. Kirsty Chambers added two more in quick succession, and they pulled the goal back late on. So the Manchester FA Cup, I think it is, they've got through the first round safely.
And that's good, because obviously last week it was a very controversial game, to say the least, and you need to steady the nerve of a result like that. So congratulations to the women's team.
And also with Jess Battle being banned for 3 games, that's a blow to the squad, but obviously it means other people have got to step up to the plate.
Absolutely, and there's plenty of talent there in the women's team. And just to add, the women's team will be back in action next week away at Liverpool Marshall Feds, and Women's Team Live will be back on the 8th of October, bringing you FC United against Northwich Vixens in the league. FC United are now back out on the pitch. A big thank you to Stato Paul.
So Daryl Knight, the number 10 for Tamworth, ready to take this free kick 25 yards out as the visitors look for an equaliser here. Daryl Knight chips it. It's Jones across, and it's going to be in, I think. Yes, it is. It was nodded down there. Just seemed a bit indecisive keeping, possibly, there, and also just inattentive, really, from...
It's a really, really well-worked worked free kick. But, I've seen them, they were pointing in... they were pointing in different directions and different spaces, Tamworth. It's one that they've done before. He's whipped it across. The initial ball in was played behind the attackers, but that head across the 16-yard box, it is a difficult one for the goalkeepers, but you expect your defenders to be alert. it's really, really well worked, that firm from Tamworth, and they've outfoxed the FC United defence and managed to scramble the ball in the end.
And FC, the better side in the first half, full value for a 1-0 lead, but Tamworth very quickly cleared the arrears, and they look the stronger side at the moment. Allinson with the clearance. Lane will go up for this with Gilchrist. Scott Kay picks up the second ball for FC United, slides it. Gilchrist is onside. Now he's got Kinsella in the middle. He tries a shot, and he scores! And the goalkeeper was completely fooled there. Gilchrist, whether it was a cross-come shot, but it goes into the far post. And, well, wow. In it goes. It's 2-1 FC United, and Gilchrist with a double.
Absolutely fantastic, fabulous shot. If he meant that one, he's really hit that. Absolutely, he couldn't have hit it any better, in fact.
Kay stabs a ball forward, though. Picked up by Verma. Verma plays it to the number four, and he gives it away. Good pressurising there from FC United of Manchester. Oh, the ball there. As FC United got a penalty.
He's done well at Steve Irwin there. You know, putting the keeper under pressure.
Well, I'm looking at the pass from Kinsella. The goalkeeper, the ball's played back to the goalkeeper, and Steve Irwin has just basically...
He's just sprinted for it.
Sprinted for it, and then the goalkeeper's kicked him. Well, it's all happening here. Now, FC United's number nine, Jason Gilchrist, on a hat-trick, but Steve Irwin this time doesn't need to steal the ball because Steve Irwin is taking it himself. There is no recognised penalty taker for FC.
Yeah,
there was no surprise that there was that bounce up... And who was taking it the other day? But that was absolutely, again, imploded the visitors. The goalkeeper there, it looked like he just miscontrolled it and then kicked Irwin.
It looked like the easiest pass back. But, I mean, it was the pressure that Irwin had put on him, the pace that he was running at him. He wasn't sure what to do. And like,
well, it's Irwin versus Rowley. What can he do? Can he make it three? Oh, yes, he can. And that's a worldie of a penalty into the top 90. No goalkeeper in the world was going to save that. And that should be 3 points for FC United of Manchester. And that will be the end of it. And FC United of Manchester, well, they won here last season 1-0, didn't they, against Tamworth, Ben? And we've managed to win by 3-1 here this afternoon at Broadhurst Park. And, well, a much improved performance. Good quality from FC United at times. And they've worked hard to grind that result out, Emily.
Yeah, they certainly have, and that's the one thing that's been impressive for me. We've seen FC teams of late, you know, crumble when the opposition have got back in it.
And we haven't done that today.
And we haven't done that today.
That's been the impressive thing. We've actually stuck at it.
We've stuck at it, and I mean, because it's so easy to do, you know, when a team like Tamworth come out, and like you say, you know, they'd made that change, and I was thinking, you know, sat here a little bit worried about what they were going to be able to do with the ball, and when they got back into it at 1-1, I've seen FC teams, you know, you can see it in them, the body language and everything changes, but today they were absolutely brilliant. They kept at that task, they knew exactly what they needed to do, and when they got the break, it was a lovely ball to Gilchrist that set him up for what was a wonder strike, and I'm going to give it that he meant that.
Okay, well, that's just absolutely fine. I completely concur with you. As the players make their way into the dressing room after a hard-fought victory here. When I say hard-fought, it wasn't actually hard-fought. We worked really well.
Yeah.
They were poor in the first half. And they came out of the second half with a glimpse of something. They got an equalising goal. But FC United were the better team by far this afternoon. They deserved the victory. Tamworth came with not a great deal. They didn't really show the qualities of a team at top six. But we've done a job.
Surprised with that.
We've done a big job. So
we haven't. I think it was important for us not to get too carried away. You know, even in the first half when we were, you know, we were the better side, and it was the pace of the game that suited us. I was surprised at that with Tamworth. You know, judging on the position in the league and previous results, but. Yeah, the pace of the game suited us, but we played into it.
I was waving to you, James, there, by the way.
We played into that, and we kept possession well, and we worked back as well. You know, when we lost the ball, we worked together collectively as units, moving across the field to not allow Tamworth any time on the ball to bring it forward and settle into the game. But like I say, the real positive is that we didn't allow the Tamworth equaliser to affect our game.
You're right, and it is very interesting. Tempo sets the precedent for every game. And I'm looking down the Tamworth team, and the one player that I think set their tempo was Aman Verma, the number eight. Loads of balls with the outside of his foot, but the game would slow down every time he had it. And
then he had the opposite with Deeney for them. He was really trying
I found it very, very strange the way they played this afternoon. I don't really care that they've come here and been poor, because we've got 3 points and we're third bottom of this division, and we've got a very, very vital point, a very vital 3 points. You're quite right in saying, Emily, that most games when we have a goal and we concede to make it one apiece, we normally implode. But we haven't this afternoon. We've stuck to our guns, and what is interesting as well is sometimes a melee like that, a big fracas, actually galvanise you a little bit. I'm surprised there weren't a few sendings off, in fairness. And I thought, you know, if you look at it in replay, and it was on, you know, national television, you look at, there would have been 3 or 4 sendings off, but the referee hasn't got the eyes of all the assistants. But we stuck to our guns. Tremendous goal. You know, regardless whether he meant it or not, what a finish. I mean, the goalkeeper looked, he's there. You could see that.
He just couldn't believe it, could he? He hadn't thought that he'd even crossed the ball in at that time. He hit it with such pace. It was absolutely fantastic.
But that was a turning point, wasn't it? Because Tamworth had been impressive at the beginning of the second half, 1-1, and they wouldn't say they were bossing the game, but they had the initiative, and Gilchrist's goal was that changed, and it seemed to negatively impact them as much as anything.
Yeah, and it drove us forwards. But I mean, like you say, there's been times when we've been sat here, and I remember the last game that I was at Curzon Ashton, we said, you know, you looked around at the players and you felt that they didn't show any sort of passion or belief or togetherness at all. But you know, there was moments in that game where you really saw that, you know, they were there for each other, and they were fighting for each other.
Let's be open and honest here. Well, not open. Yeah, we're always open and honest. That could have been Carr's last game. Seriously, with the results the way they've gone, and the mood of the club, that could have been his last game. Is that performance based upon the players really playing for him today? And I'm hoping that's the case, to keep him in the job. You know, I'm not saying that he was going to be sacked today, but, you know, the run of form we're on, we're still in the bottom three. But a performance needed to be happened there for Carl to say, look, I've got this team, I've got the dressing room, we're working together as a unit, and they've gone out there, and Carl's shown, and the players have shown that they can do it together, and they can get out of this mess that they've got themselves into. And we can maybe move on to Saturday with an FA Cup game against Stockport County. Jim Gannon was here again, you know, the Stockport County manager. We've had Flanners here, the Curzon Ashton manager. You know, so they'll be looking at FC. Jim Gannon's been to 2 games now. What he's made of the last 2 games, I don't know. In fact, hold on, I've just had a thought. We should invite Jim Gannon to every game. Jim Gannon's been here twice, and FC have won twice. Jim Gannon's our lucky mascot. So next week, we can safely predict that Jim Gannon, Stockport County, we're going to beat you because Gannon's going to be at the game.
So unless he absents himself.
I think he should. Jim, don't turn up, because FC are coming to town to Stockport, and we're going to win the game. But, sometimes, you know, Carl will be down there in the dressing room, and sometimes the manager at some stage, if they're doing really, say, look, this could be my last game today, so you guys get out there, and who's going to keep my job? Who's going to save me, my job? Can I trust you? And I think they all did that today. I thought Joel Senior was excellent. His cross for the opening goal, and what I liked about it, he thought about the cross and put it in with purpose, and he did that quite a lot today. When he knew a lot of times to put it in first time, but when he looked and he could just slightly check, your favourite term, he whipped it in with purpose and panache. And very, very, very pleased with him. And he jumped into the melee. You know, 18 years of age. I mean, he was pushing and shoving and all the rest of it. But he had a very good performance. Irwin, he's been a good acquisition, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been fantastic. He's been the one player, even when, you know, others haven't performed, he's been the one that has. Really, really admire him.
And what a good afternoon, though, for Gilchrist, because he did really well. Then he kind of maybe fades slightly. He needs to find the consistency, but that 2 goals today will do him a power of good.
Of course.
Yeah, I think it's always going to be a big 7 days this with the Stockport away in the Cup. If FC can put something together in the cup, that helps to alleviate the pressure, gives an extra focus for the club, really, for the supporters and everybody. You know, just a bit of relief from with the league form. But then of course, 7 days, very important game at Ferriby. Of course, who are propping up the division.
They are, yeah, and so they can't buy a win for love nor money. I fully expect.
So don't come to Ferriby, Steve.
Yes, Wood Oil will be there for the fish and chips, definitely, and the mint sauce, right, which is top draw. but no, I mean, it's, as you say, it's now that there's no league games for a week. The pressure is off from the league just for them 7 days. We can concentrate on the FA Cup. Huge game against Stockport County next Saturday. But let's just going back to this game. Another player that had a very, very good game for FC United of Manchester, who went off injured, was McCarthy. Yep. Again, I like the pace and the tone that they play up at top. They're working from the onset. The goalkeeper Rowley was nervy all afternoon. He put off a great save with Corbett, but apart from that, his kicking was quite poor. He was tentative when the ball came toward him, and that was based upon Gilchrist and McCarthy and Logan to a degree, but primarily those two closing down space. Even when there was plenty of room for them to maybe manoeuvre the ball out the opposition, they did enough to put into their mind, and when you put into a player's mind or keeper's mind, it plays on it, and you're playing on the man. And he made a mistake, and we saw that with the third goal of the penalty, because there's no way that he should have miscontrolled that, and then he just hacked him down. It was schoolboy goalkeeping,
but that was
a nice thing. The final third from FC attacking and putting pressure on their defenders today was very, very good. We've got to just make sure we can do that as a unit going forward and back. And today we've done that in good parts. There was, as we'd say, you commentated on the first 20 minutes of the second half, and it was all Tamworth, was it?
It was, yeah. Yeah. They were definitely the stronger side. But it's a mental thing, isn't it, sport? I mean, he's good players, but they just looked rudderless at times this season. Mm. And today, same group. Irwin, there was a lovely run, I think, early on that he did, where he just took out a load of players, and FC could have scored even before the first goal. So I thought that there was just a different atmosphere in the throughout the stadium, really. But I do think that's
called alcohol on Sunday.
There is that always a factor. But I do think also that it was a turning point. That goals always change games, but that particularly, I thought Tamworth were looking more likely, and you had that feeling, oh goodness me. Is it all going to go awry? But that changed it, and it seemed to take a lot of wind out of Tamworth with that goal by Gilchrist.
Huge amounts, and as you say, they were in the ascendancy without really putting any great pressure on FC's goalkeeper. I mean, there was, I think I remember in the first half, there was two or three shots from distance, but gathered very comfortably from Allinson. He had to get to the back post in the first half and hit the ball over because it came across. But the one thing, I mean, we're getting used now very much to Allinson being superb every week. And, again today, he was top draw. How long we can hold on for him will be debatable, because you can see, I mean, two goalkeepers today, one team, one goalkeeper in the top six, one keeper in the top bottom two. And our goalkeeper was head and shoulders above him. And you can see, the pedigree he's got, and he's going to get better and better. He commands his area well. When he needs to make saves, he makes them well. His distribution is good. He's always trying to throw the ball out rather than kick it. And he's got to be a massive benefit to FC's defence. The only problem is we haven't had we've had a settled defence to a degree. Today, Danny Wisdom did more defending in the game than he did attacking, which, again, I think was better for us.
And as a centre-back, how impressed were you with Zach Corbett today?
Yeah.
Has he got that number six shirt?
For me, based on today, what he's done today, he was absolutely fantastic. That first half, he was the real difference.
We both said it, didn't we? Of course.
Everything, his positioning, how tidy he was in his challenges. He was cutting, he was reading the game so well. The ball's coming into the striker's feet. He was on it before they could control it. And his distribution, he wasn't rushing. We've seen a lot of our defence, they panic when they're on the ball. The same as we made made Rowley panic every time he was collecting the ball, or their back four were in possession, you know, put pressure on somebody and they make mistakes. But Corbett, for me, he read the game so well and he led the line for FC at the back.
He did, and it's good. I love left. I mean, I'm left-footed myself, and having a left-footed player is a massive bonus as well, as far as I'm concerned. Let's be honest. Carl is not going to get carried away with one result, is he?
No.
There's no question about it. He's happy tonight. He can sleep. He'd have a decent night's sleep, because he won't have been having a decent night's sleep for the last, well, since the start of the season, really, with the exception of a couple of nights. And tonight he can. And the management team, they've worked well, obviously, in training. They've seen what Tamworth are like on their away travels, and they've benefited from that, because, you know, we've got the 3 points. And well done, Carl, and well done the management team, but well done the players. As you say, Zach Corbett was outstanding. The one thing I will say is, we loads to work on as a team, but we've got to be better in our possession and not giving the ball away. And certainly from the back, I mean, Fagbola's a great, he's done tremendous for me. He's been 7 out of 10 pretty much every game this season. So, you know, he's been the mainstay, you know, player that's been consistent in a poor performance. He's still been pretty much consistent and done okay. I mean, the first game of the season, he had a strapped leg and he still played well against Brackley. But we can't. We head the ball too eagerly rather than bringing it down, and we give the ball away. And against other opposition on another day, they were capitalised upon that. Today they didn't. I mean, we work on that and that's good, but we've seen that all through the season. You protect the ball. When you've got it, you protect it. And that's what Joel Senior does. He actually protects the ball really, really well. When he's got it, he looks left, he looks right, he looks down the byline, and he wants to give the ball to someone. So does Irwin. He doesn't want to give the ball away. Kay's a great example. Kay very rarely gives the ball away. And if he does, it's a free kick to the opposition, which is fine. As long as you don't get 15 bookings. Oh, no, he did get 15 bookings last season for that, didn't he? Yeah. From Broadhurst Park, we're waving. We'll see you on Saturday for a cup final against Stockport County in the FA Cup. Until then, lovely to see you all. Take care.
FC Live there from Sunday afternoon. After the match, Ben caught up with FC United manager Carl Margeson.
Thank you for joining us after that, Carl. You must be dead pleased with that result and performance so far as well.
Yeah, disciplined, good structure to us. And played with our heads for once, and, you know, great goal to start off. But we're doing the right things in the right areas. You know, in wide areas, we're looking to cross the ball at every opportunity. But we're also getting up and down. You know, the two wide men today, Joel. Well, both Joels, I thought, were excellent. Thought we looked solid. Thought Zach, Jordan, once he relaxed, and obviously Jason with his two goals. You know, magnificent. Bit of a Ronaldinho about the second one.
Are you having that second one? Because he hit it a bit hard for a cross, didn't he?
I really don't care.
You've scored a few like that.
I've scored better than that, yeah. But I don't care. Fact is, we've had loads where they've ended up in the back of our net, and so we'll take them when they come. Great goal, first goal, and obviously Steve Irwin's work rate for the second one was different class. For the third one was different class. So well pleased, really pleased for everybody's support. It was different. You know, superb today. We've given something to cheer about. You know, and it's something that we want to build on.
You mentioned the two Joels. Joel Senior, you moved up to right wing from right back. I thought you had a very good game. What was the major differences for you for this game in comparison to things like Blyth, where we did put in a good display, but we didn't really
just see a little bit more belief about us, a little bit more. You know, after. Yes, after Tuesday night, sorry. Just think there's that little bit of belief creeping in. I said to him, you know, at the end of the day, as a team, as a staff, we've all been on our knees over the past God knows how many weeks. But I felt something change at Handsworth, at Paddymore, because the football gods, when they're not with you, games like that, even when we should have been comfortable, they can go against us, and they didn't. And obviously that transpired then into a 6-2 victory on the other night. It still always gives you little bits to work on, and today I just feel as though we've kind of, I don't want to speak too soon, but hopefully turned a tiny little bit of a corner, or, you know, certainly got to a stage in the road where we can see around it.
Now, we are still third bottom, but that win today is very much welcomed. It takes us into the FA Cup next weekend. Stockport Camp, you've been here again watching us here on Tuesday, but two very different formations and way we played. What are you going with on Saturday? Just to throw a curveball to Jim Gannon, do you?
Possibly, we'll see. I watched them yesterday. What we've shown is that we've got a group of players who can be adaptable to whatever formation we see fit to play. I watched them yesterday, but they'll be different because we're probably going to have players coming back and players will be cup tied as we have. So we'll have to see what it's like come Thursday night and then look to obviously prepare to try and get a positive result on Saturday.
And McCarthy he came off with a pull something or something. What are the injuries looking like going into Saturday?
It was good to see Craig back. Craig Linfield coming on for the last 10 minutes. We'll assess Connor and see how he is on Tuesday. Everyone else is round and about.
And you made a loan signing this week. Any more coming in, do you feel, at this stage? Or?
Yeah, there's a couple of lads that we're looking to recruit. If we can do that, you know, they're of the right type. And, we'll see where it goes.
Well, Carl, congratulations today and thanks for joining us.
Cheers, Ben.
FC United manager Carl Margeson there following his side's 3-1 win over Tamworth on Sunday afternoon. To find out now where that result leaves FC United in the league table and for all the other results from Saturday afternoon in the National League North, it's over to Marv Willers now for another edition of Marv's Sports Report. Marv.
Thanks, Cockers, and hello everybody and welcome to another edition of Marv's Sports Report with me, Marv. Well, that victory for FC United now sees FC third bottom in the league table, 1 point behind Leamington and 2 behind Boston and Dunedin. Higher up the table, and Harrogate Town top the league table on goal difference after triumphing 2-0 at the derby against York City on Saturday. Salford City, though, are level on points with Harrogate, but were given a tough test by third bottom Gainsborough Trinity, winning by 1-0. Like the top two, Brackley Town have also just lost once to date, but had to make do with a draw against Curzon Ashton on Saturday. There were goals galore as Kidderminster Harriers just edged visitors Blyth Spartans 5-4, while Chorley survived going down to 10 men, with almost all of the second half to go, and beat Telford United 3-2. Leamington earned a third win of the season, edging out informed Bradford Park Avenue 2-1, while Stockport County inflicted a 9th defeat of the season to date on relegated North Ferriby United, who are already 6 points adrift of the safety mark of the table. Spennymoor Town put an end to Alverton Town's 7-game unbeaten run with a 2-1 win, and Nuneaton Town sent visiting Southport away with a 3-0 defeat at Liberty Way. And that concludes this week's Marv Sports Report with me, Marv. Cheerio.
Thanks, Marv. FC United return to action this weekend as Carl Margeson's side travels south to take on Stockport County at Edgeley Park in the third qualifying round of this season's FA Cup. Kick-off at Edgeley Park on Saturday will be at 3 p.m. But remember, as always, if you cannot make this game in person, then have no fear. The FC Live team are here. They'll be going to air live on Saturday afternoon from 2:30 p.m. on www.fcumradio.co.uk.
FCUM Radio. Look for us on Facebook, Twitter and Audioboo.
To matters away from the first team now, and in October the club will be entering two pan-disability teams into the Manchester FA's Ability Counts Football League for the coming season. For more on this development, FCUM TV's Roy Williamson caught up with FC United Sports Development Manager Tom Conroy last week.
Tom Conroy, Sports Development Manager of FC. Tom, tell us the background to this.
Well, basically this started in January. I set up a pan disability community session, so it's just a normal drop-in session where people come along over the age of 16. Yeah. And take part in fun games really on our facility. It was so flexible that the guys could come down and they could get in pairs, they could get in small groups, get a football, use our equipment and facility basically to create their own games. As the numbers grew, more and more people came down and they wanted to develop, they wanted to improve football. So we've started doing regular sessions with them to help progress their ability. So myself and Jack, we put on regular sessions for them every Friday. and it's become a team. It's grown so quickly, the numbers have increased in such a short period of time that we've been able to create two teams out of this group now.
Right.
So they'll go into the Manchester Ability Council League this season. The fixtures, first set of fixtures start in October.
So what are the main benefits for the guys playing?
Basically, I mean, some of them want to come down and they like the social aspect of it. Some of them want to come down because they really do just want to improve football. They've already been in a footballing background before, and they want to improve. Some of them just come down for the fun aspect. Some of them just want to come down to be part of the team and part of this club as well. You know, once we told them that we were creating an FC United disability team, you know, they're over the moon with it. It's been absolutely fantastic, and we've been able to get two kits now, which hopefully should be delivered within the next few weeks. And we get the FC United badge on the kits, and they'll feel really part of the club.
And you were talking just a few minutes ago about some of the other advantages, like you know, youngsters getting into college, and you know, the links that you've got there that are helping.
Yeah, I mean, well, with them being in and around the club, they get to talk to us, they get to talk to me and Jack, and they tell us what they're doing during the day and things like that. So, for example, one of the players there, he's been in and around volunteering at the club, but we thought that we could help him a little bit more and reach his aspirations by getting him involved in a college scheme. So, you know, we've brought Pure Innovations in, and we've sat down with the player and his mum, and we've told him what they can benefit from joining the college course. And now in September, he's going to end up going there three times a week, doing life skills, getting qualifications, but at the same time still coming here and playing football as well.
And the future, we were talking again before, and it's grown pretty big, pretty quick, hasn't it? So where do we aim for in the future?
For the future, I want this to progress. I want this to carry on. Obviously, we've got two teams in the Ability Counts League this season. I would like three teams next season. But then also from this, I want to start targeting younger age groups as well, and bringing younger children with pan disabilities in, and hopefully get them into the junior Ability Counts League as well. Definitely within the next 2 to 3 years, I want to have a junior set up as well.
And just finally, I mean, you can see how the club supports it. We've got some of the players on the sideline. Yeah. Daz Lyons has been here since kickoff. I mean, how's the club been with you with this initiative?
Fantastic, absolutely fantastic. You know, a perfect example was when we had a friendly game against Stalybridge, and we went up to Stalybridge to play them just before the first team played, and the whole team were out. Marge, all the lads, they're all up at the side, and you know, they were cheering them on, and the lads were going over and shaking their hands when they scored and celebrating together, and it was a really good feel for the club. It's a great thing.
FC United Sports Development Manager Tom Conroy there. And that's nearly it for this week's This Club Is My Club. But just a reminder that if you haven't yet registered a vote for FC United as part of the M&S Energy Fund, then please visit www.m&senergyfund.com. Voting closes on the 20th of October, and with FC United currently in second place in the popular vote, every vote really counts. And on that note, that's about it for this week's show. You can hear this show on Monday and Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 12:30 on www.fcumradio.co.uk, and on North Manchester FM every Monday evening at 9:05 p.m. on 106.6 FM. The podcast can be downloaded via our website or from the iTunes store, and all the goals are held on audioboom.com/FCUMradio. Thanks to everyone involved in FCUM Radio and the club as a whole. Thanks for listening, and from me, Cockers, see you next time.
Hiya, I'm Maxine Peake, and you're listening to the wonderful FC United Radio.